to Unbroken Podcast. I'm Alexandra Amor, author, coach, and a lifelong explorer of what it means to be human. This is the podcast where my guests and I explore the inside-out nature of life and the psychological paradigm called the Three Principles. We explore the positive effect this can have on every aspect of our lives, including resolving things like unwanted habits, anxiety, trauma, depression, and more. You'll find episode show notes, transcriptions, your complimentary Freedom from Overeating starter kit, and lots more at unbrokenpodcast.com. And now, here's the show. Hello, explorers, and welcome to episode 60 of Unbroken. I'm Alexandra Amor, and today I've got for you an audio course that I recorded for the app Insight Timer, and it's called Why Your Overeating Habit is a Sign That You Are in Perfect Working Order. So this course is pending, you know, it's going through the pipeline at Insight Timer as of this recording, and I thought I would share it with you. It's got short lessons, and so what I've done for the podcast today is put them all together as one podcast episode. And even if you've been around this understanding a little while and you understand the idea that our symptoms are giving us feedback and that there's nothing broken about us, they're actually a part of our innate well-being and our universal design, which is perfect. I think it would be a good thing to listen to, a good refresher, a good, just reminder about the brilliance in your unwanted habit and that sort of thing. So that's coming up next. And what else did I want to say? If you're interested in the Unbroken community, almost forgot what it was called, you can sign up at alexandraamor.com/community. Signing up there will get you onto the wait list so that when the community starts, I will let you know. And in the meantime, I'll keep you apprised of any information that you need about what's going on there. That community is a place for us to meet and gather, for you to receive coaching from myself and to connect with like-minded others who are interested in exploring this understanding, especially as it relates to unwanted habits. So I hope you'll sign up there. Again, that's alexandraamor.com/community. And that's it, I think, for today. So for those of you who watch on YouTube, there's no video of me talking about this audio course. It's audio only, so there will be a card up on YouTube that you'll see next. For the rest of you, just happy listening, and I will talk to you again next week when my guest will be Dominic Scafidi. So I will talk to you then. Take care. Bye. When we have an unwanted habit like overeating, it can feel like there's something broken about us. Our culture tends to shame those with unwanted habits, and it is widely assumed that there is something wrong with anyone who struggles with them. Judgments, including self-judgments, are made about a perceived lack of discipline or lack of self-care. But what if an unwanted habit like overeating was a sign of all that's right with you, not with something that's wrong? What if your unwanted habit is a solution, not a problem? For decades, we've been approaching unwanted habits as though they are the enemy. And how's that working for us? Not well, I'd say. We only have to look at the rising statistics about obesity or drug and alcohol addiction to see that this seems to be a battle that we're losing. Badly. In this course, I'd like to explore turning our attitude toward unwanted habits on its head. It's so easy to misunderstand what an unwanted habit is trying to tell us, so we'll explore the messages habits are trying to send us and how our unwanted habits are actually a perfect part of our innate design. If that sounds absurd or ridiculous, consider that until very recently we thought we only had 5 senses. Scientists now identify more than 20. Things look true until we are presented with an alternative. I'm Alexandra Amore, and I'm an author, a podcaster, a coach, and someone who's searched for answers about my own unwanted overeating habit for the past 3 decades. Name a strategy for resolving a habit, and I've tried it. Nothing worked. Then, in 2017, I discovered a field of spiritual psychology that had me doubting my perceived brokenness and instead awakening to the innate well-being that is within all of us. This change in understanding has me looking toward my wholeness rather than my perceived brokenness and has helped me to resolve so much of what I had been suffering with for years. It has led me back to my natural state of calm resilience, no willpower required. If you are someone who has an unresolved or unwanted habit, that's what I want to share with you in this course. Lesson 1. Your habit is not a problem. Hello and welcome. Have you ever found yourself engaged in a behavior while simultaneously berating yourself for that behavior? I'm guessing your answer is yes to that question, because the truth is, almost all human beings have this experience at one time or another. This is an unwanted habit. Smoking, drinking too much, an excess of online shopping, or overeating. And it's possible, if you're listening to this, that you've tried to stop an unwanted behavior at one time or another. Our tried and not-so-true techniques to stop such habits often involve things like willpower, or distracting ourselves, or tricking ourselves into avoiding the habitual behavior. We can work really hard to try to force or convince an unwanted habit to go away and leave us alone. Unwanted habits can feel like a monkey on our back, one who is clingy and relentless when it comes to needing our attention. I personally struggled with an overeating habit for 30-plus years. That habit felt like a character flaw, a failing, and a personal weakness. It was also something I was deeply ashamed of. So I traveled the self-help road for all those decades, trying to quote-unquote fix myself. I focused mightily on the problematic nature of the habit. That's where all my attention went, innocently thinking of the habit as a problem. Among the fixes I tried were talk therapy, EMDR, mindfulness, counting food points, extremely restrictive diets, hypnosis, emotional freedom technique, rational recovery, cognitive behavioral therapy. I could go on. This is by no means an exhaustive list of what I tried. None of it worked. In fact, my overeating habit got worse over the years. Looking back now, I appreciate my relentless efforts to help myself. I was trying to find a solution to something that looked like a problem. But what if our unwanted habits are actually an expression of the innate intelligence that is within all of us? What if they are a sign of our mental health, not a psychological failing? What if they are a sign that we are in perfect working order? Earlier, I touched on the fact that unwanted habits are universal. They cross cultural and geographic boundaries. Why is that? Why are habits and addictions such universal human experiences? Conventional psychological theory says that when we have an unwanted habit, that we are trying to bury uncomfortable feelings or soothe ourselves, cope with trauma and the bumps and bruises that occur in every life. In this course, I'm going to turn your understanding of unwanted habits on its head. I'll explain how all unwanted habits and addictions have the same origin, and how their universality actually points toward their wise nature. we'll talk about how addictions and unwanted habits are not about the substance that's being consumed. In other words, contrary to what the diet industry tells us, overeating is not about the food. We'll explore the feedback and messages that your unwanted habit is trying to communicate to you and how wise these messages are. And I'll share how easy it is to misunderstand these messages and how innocently we can get caught up in that misinterpretation. We'll also explore alternatives to the ways we have historically dealt with an unwanted habit. Let's begin by talking about the way that we've viewed unwanted habits, like overeating, up until now. It's easy to experience these habits as problems, isn't it? We have cravings and unwanted urges that seem to force us into behaviors that we don't want to be engaging in. We find ourselves eating too much, or eating foods that aren't good for us. Or we consume vast quantities of food only to spend days punishing ourselves in response. These things can become cyclical. We engage in the overeating behavior only to regret it afterwards and swear we'll never do it again. But then we do. Of course, all of this seems like a problem, especially if, like me, you end up on that quitting and then relapsing roundabout for years, if not decades. If you're listening to this, then no doubt in an effort to help yourself get off the roundabout, you've tried many things to break your habit, willpower being a very common approach, white-knuckling it through days of tuna fish and steamed vegetables, or maybe tracking what you're eating, writing down everything that goes into your mouth. Perhaps creating a list of forbidden foods and swearing you'll never eat them again. Or tricking yourself into different behaviors by emptying cupboards and the fridge and starting fresh. We've all had experiences similar to this when it comes to trying to break a habit. So one very important thing I'd love you to hear from me today is that while you and I were doing all these things, we were doing them because they made sense at the time. These are the tools we had access to for dealing with unwanted habits: restriction, willpower, wrestling our cravings into submission, or trying to. If you can, in this moment, I'd love for you to offer yourself some compassion around this. It might feel heavy, all the effort and subsequent lack of success that you experienced. But I'll repeat myself and say you were doing what you knew to do at the time. It was the best solution you had to offer yourself. In this course, I'd like to offer you an alternative. I'd like to show you how your unwanted habit is actually a sign of your mental health and how it points toward the fact that you are in perfect working order. And then we'll explore how, when we see habits through this lens, our battle with them can slow down and then eventually stop. Let's begin with the next lesson, where we'll explore the intelligence behind your cravings. Lesson 2, Home Base. If you'll indulge me for a moment, I'd like you to close your eyes, if it's safe to do so, and settle into yourself. Feel your breath going into and out of your lungs. Feel it filling up your chest like a balloon, and then releasing and relaxing. Now, I'd love for you to call to mind a moment when you felt content and peaceful. That time might be recently, or it could be a long time ago. Doesn't really matter when it was. What I'd like you to bring to the front of your mind is a time when you felt a really good feeling. You might have been having a laugh with a friend, or sitting quietly in the sun, or enjoying a concert or a sporting event that makes you happy. Maybe you're creative and can recall a time when you felt particularly fulfilled by a project or the process of making something beautiful. I'll give you a moment to bring something to mind. That feeling, however you may describe it, You might say genuine contentment, happiness, relaxation, fulfillment, joy. For the purposes of this lesson, we're going to call that feeling home base. That home base feeling is your birthright. It is what you are made of. Let's do another little exercise. Think about the ideal vacation for you. Imagine for a moment what that would be. There's no need to overthink it. You'll know when the idea for what would look to you like an ideal vacation pops into your head. Now, let me ask you this. If I asked a group of 10 people to imagine their ideal vacation, do you think everyone in that group would picture the same thing? Of course not. Some people would picture white sandy beaches and lying in the sun. Someone else might imagine racing down snowy slopes on skis. A third person might picture visiting museums and art galleries in a foreign city. Someone else might imagine spending time at home with their family. What we can see from this exercise is that the idea of vacation isn't a specific place or experience, it's a feeling. In our fast-paced world, how much time do we spend thinking about vacations, planning them, dreaming about getting away from our regular lives? Why is that? It's because we're searching for the good feeling we hope we'll get from the vacation. Now, what does all this talk about good feelings and vacations have to do with resolving an unwanted habit, you might ask? Well, it points to the idea that we're so often searching, mentally or physically, for a good feeling. Imagined lottery wins, fantasy romance scenarios, dream jobs, a super fancy car, greater financial security, a desire for love, connection, peace of mind, vacations, like we talked about earlier. All these things are pointing toward our innate wish to connect with and experience good feelings. We are all wired to want to feel good, to have that home base feeling. And more to the point, not just to have it, but to embody it, to experience it deep in ourselves. Nobody wants to be miserable. Everyone dreams of a better feeling. Ask yourself, would anyone accuse us of being mentally unhealthy or broken for wanting to experience a good feeling? No, probably not, right? It may sound obvious, but one way that humans attempt to get to that home base feeling is by doing things that make us feel good, things that give us a rush, so to speak, of the good feeling that we are searching for and that we are made of. These things can be shopping, smoking, drinking, sex, drugs, and yes, eating. All these things, and so many more, are things we do to try to manufacture a good feeling. Think of how you feel when you first indulge in your unwanted habit, before the guilt and recrimination set in. It feels good, right? That first bite of a favorite food, there's a good feeling there, if only for an instant. That's one reason why we do it. That's why we indulge in our unwanted habit over and over again. We are trying to feel that good feeling. And later in this course, we're going to talk about other reasons for our unwanted habits. You might say, well, thank you, Captain Obvious. Of course habits are trying to simulate a good feeling. Have you eaten a piece of chocolate cake lately? It's heaven in every bite. The reason I bring up this obvious idea is that it points out that unwanted habits are a sign of our mental health, not of mental weakness or a lack of willpower or an addictive personality. Unwanted habits are a way for us to create a simulated good feeling. Unfortunately, they come with baggage attached, guilt, shame, self-recrimination, not to mention their adverse effects on our health. but their origin is innocent. We are always searching for a good feeling, and we will do so even when that search causes problems. We are searching for a good, calm, peaceful, soothing feeling because that feeling, that home base, is our most natural state. And we know this instinctively, even when we're very far away from that feeling. Think about babies for a moment. As long as their needs are met, their diaper is clean, they are fed and have had enough sleep, they live in that calm, peaceful place. This is who we are, and this is what our unwanted habits like overeating are trying to achieve. The good news is that when we begin to see our unwanted habits for what they are, a wise part of our innate intelligence, an indicator of our well-being, then we can let go of some of the baggage that comes along with those habits. And when we stop beating ourselves up for having the habit, that itself is one important step for resolving an unwanted habit. In the next lesson, we're going to build on this idea of our home base feeling and talk about what unwanted habits are trying to accomplish in addition to creating a good feeling. Lesson 3, A Quiet Mind. Do you own an Instant Pot? They were all the rage a few years ago. I love mine. Instant Pots are a brand name for what my grandmother called a pressure cooker, which is a pot that cooks its contents with pressure rather than with heat. The pot is sealed and pressure builds up, and that's what cooks whatever's inside. If you own either an Instant Pot or a pressure cooker, you know that there's a valve on top that allows you to release some of the pressure in the pot. When you do so, it makes a whooshing sound and you can see steam escaping the pot. In my work with clients, I very often use the following metaphor for unwanted habits. Our minds are like a pressure cooker, and our behavior, our unwanted habit, is the release valve on that pressure cooker. The pressure inside the metaphorical Instant Pot is created by our busy thinking. So in other words, our unwanted habit releases the pressure that builds up in our minds from our thinking. The thinking you experience in life is like the contents of that pressure cooker. It can build and build until it feels like too much to cope with, swirling around inside your head, keeping you awake at night, interfering with the concentration required for other things. The solution for the buildup of this pressure is the release valve. That release valve shows up as behaviors that can run the gamut from lashing out in anger to overshopping to yelling in traffic to overeating, smoking, drinking too much, and hoarding, just to give a few examples. The release valve gets us back to a better feeling, to that home base feeling we talked about in the previous lesson. Even if the change is only incremental, we still feel a bit better. Some of the pressure within us has been released and we are slightly more calm, more peaceful. In this way, an overeating habit or other unwanted habit is actually a solution, not a problem, like I talked about earlier in this course. And I'm going to say that again so you don't miss it. Our unwanted habits are solutions, not problems. A habit releases some of the pressure within you that is created by busy thinking. In this way, a habit is a necessary and natural part of your perfect design. Without the release valve, the pressure cooker would explode. This is another reason why your unwanted habit is a sign of your mental health and a sign that you are in perfect working order. That release valve behavior is evidence that you are looking for a better feeling, that you are wired to search for and crave a good feeling. What that tells us in turn is that you are made of peace and well-being, and your habit is evidence of that. Just like a fish will always need water, humans will always need what they are made of: peace, love, well-being. Your habit is a truth about who you are at your core. We tend to think about unwanted habits and cravings as though they're a broken part of ourselves, like they're a flat tire on a car or an app on our phone that is on the fritz and keeps sending us unwelcome alerts. However, let me challenge that by adding another metaphor into the mix. What I would like you to consider is that cravings are actually a barometer, and that barometer is always in perfect working order. A barometer, of course, is a device that tells us about the atmospheric pressure in our geographic area. A craving for food or for a cigarette or for a new pair of shoes when you've already got dozens of pairs in your closet is a feedback system that tells us about the atmospheric pressure within ourselves. Barometers measure the layers of air that wrap around the Earth that are affected by gravity. Changes in the atmosphere affect the Earth's weather systems. The way that a barometer reflects atmospheric pressure is typically with hands, like a clock's hands, on a dial pointing toward numbers. A food craving is doing exactly the same thing. It is pointing toward the quote-unquote weather inside you. Duh, you might say, if I feel super stressed, I have a piece of cake. That's not breaking news. You're right, it's not. But what I'm suggesting is that the craving itself is not an indication that there is anything wrong with you, even when you're feeling stressed or triggered by life. There is wisdom behind the cravings we feel that is deeper than a feeling that we want to use a substance in order to try to soothe and comfort ourselves when we've had a hard day. What I'm saying is that there is a beautiful and perfect mechanism within us, food craving or any kind of craving, that lets us know what the weather inside us is doing at any given moment. We need that signal, the craving, to remind us of our innate, perfect nature. So, what's the alternative to willpower and tricking ourselves into stopping an unwanted habit? We all live with thinking in our heads. How can we release the pressure that builds up without turning toward our unwanted overeating habit? Well, here's where things get really interesting. Unlike other self-help tools, I'm not going to direct you toward replacing the pressure valve release with some other sort of behavior. Instead, using a different metaphor, we're going to look at the nature of what's in the pressure cooker itself. Let's talk about that in the next lesson. Lesson 4, the nature of thinking. At this point in our exploration, you might be thinking that the solution to the pressure cooker metaphor in the previous lesson would be to change our thoughts so that they don't build up in the pressure cooker. And perhaps you've even tried to do that in the past, using mantras or positive reinforcement to change your thinking around your habit. However, we're going to look in an entirely different direction in this lesson. We're going to look away from positive thinking and monitoring or calming our thoughts, and instead look at the nature of thinking and of thought itself. When we understand what thought is and how it works, our unwanted habits can become unnecessary. In order to do that, let me switch metaphors from the one in the previous lesson. So here's the new one. Imagine you lived in a world where no one had explained to you how a bathtub drain works. Every time you took a bath, afterwards you'd have to find a way to empty the water out of the tub. You might take a bucket and scoop out the water and carry it through your house to the front door and then take it outside and dump it somewhere. Then you'd have to go back to the tub and scoop out some more water and carry that outside, repeating that process until all the water was out of the tub. Emptying the tub would require a lot of effort on your part and create a lot of extra stress for you. Plus, there would be mess to clean up afterward, drips of water on the floor of your home, and that kind of thing. But not knowing any other way to empty a tub, you'd go through this laborious process until the day someone explained to you how drains work. They'd show you that there is a drain on the bottom of the tub where, when you open it, allows the water to flow away on its own. There's nothing else for you to do. Once you see this, you'll never empty the tub with the bucket again. The understanding that I'm exploring in this course is like that information about the bathtub drain. I'm pointing out to you how tubs, drains, and water work. If it's not clear, the water represents your thinking. As you begin to understand this, and as your understanding deepens, you'll see there's less and less for you to do with your thinking. Our thinking flows into us from a source other than ourselves, stays with us for a time, and then moves on without us having to do anything about it. Sometimes the water is crystal clear, sometimes it's murky, but the thing that never changes is that it flows. It moves of its own accord. That is its nature. We can see this in action in the following examples. If I asked you to think exclusively about pink elephants for the next 10 minutes and told you I'd give you $1 million if you could do that, would you be able to do it? As much as we'd like to think the answer to this challenge would be yes, we know it's not possible, especially if you've ever tried meditating. Thoughts pop into our minds, sometimes at random, often rapidly, one after the other. No doubt you're familiar with the expression monkey mind that illustrates this. Are you the master of all that thinking? Can you control every thought that comes into your mind? No, of course not. So if we're not in control of our thinking, which I know is a radical concept, what is? Continuing with the bathtub metaphor from earlier, if we took a positive thinking approach, we would be trying to control the clarity of the water that comes into the tub. That's a ton of work, and it's fruitless, because the nature of water is that some days it's clear, and some days it's not. Being concerned with the quality of the water in the tub at any given moment, via something like positive thinking, is really a waste of energy, because in the next moment there will be different water in the tub, different thoughts in our mind, and then again in the moment after that. Instead, when we focus on understanding the nature of water, knowing it will continue to flow no matter what, we can relax about what the tub is holding at any given moment. In other words, when we begin to see that thought is flowing through us like water, like energy, we can rest in the understanding that battling with a craving is like trying to manage or organize the water in a stream or a river. By seeing our thinking for what it is, we can relax, knowing that any given thought, including a craving, will be followed soon by another thought, and then another. We don't need to latch on to the craving thought and manage it. The other important thing to mention in this discussion of the nature of our thinking is that just like the water in the bathtub, our thinking is designed to settle down all on its own. You could have a toddler in that metaphorical tub, splashing around, having a grand old time with toys and stirring up the water until it slops over the edge of the tub. But the nature of that water is that if you leave it alone, if the toddler stops splashing, the water will settle. There's nothing you need to do to make it do that. In fact, getting involved while the water is settling will likely only stir it up a bit more. Your thinking is exactly like the water in that tub. Leave it alone, and it will settle down all by itself. No doubt you've experienced this, probably on more than one occasion. We've all had moments where we were upset about something or angry, and then we got distracted. For a moment, our anger or upset is entirely gone, and we're focused on something else. Of course, that anger or upset can return, but in that instance, did we make it go away? No, it settled down like the water in the tub when we weren't agitating it. Our unwanted habits, like overeating, are an innocent way that we're trying to manage the water in the tub when it's stirred up. Engaging in the habit is a distraction. We become distracted from our busy thinking even if just for a moment. But when we understand the nature of thought, the need for the unwanted habit lessens. We can begin to rely on our innate design, knowing that if we leave our thinking alone, it will settle down. As I mentioned at the beginning of this lesson, resolving a habit like overeating doesn't come from forcing behavioral change. It comes from understanding the nature of thought and from understanding your beautiful, innate design that is always pointing you back toward peace and calm. Lesson 5. Life Inside Out. I've thrown a number of metaphors and new ideas at you in these lessons. If what I've said feels like it has scrambled your eggs a bit, that's okay. That reaction is common when we're learning something entirely new that contradicts so much of what we've believed about ourselves for years, if not decades. Especially if you're someone like myself who is a natural seeker and has long wanted to find an answer to an unwanted habit. So as we wrap up, let me briefly go over what we've discussed. 1. You are made of peace and calm and a good feeling. That's who you are at your core. Your desire to learn and grow by listening to courses like this and being here on Insight Timer proves this. We are always wanting to connect with the innate love that we are made of. 2. Your unwanted habit is not a broken part of yourself. There's nothing you need to fix about it. It is, in fact, part of the universal intelligence that includes your beautiful and brilliant human design. 3. Your unwanted habit is both a solution and a barometer. It is a solution because it is a way to release some of the pressure inside you that results from a busy, overactive mind. And it is a barometer because when you feel an urge to indulge in your habit, that urge alerts you to your state of mind. 4. Your brilliant and innate design knows how to settle down that busy, overactive mind. You don't need to do anything to make that happen. These lessons are the tip of the iceberg when it comes to exploring this new field of spiritual psychology, commonly called the Three Principles, or the Inside-Out Understanding. These principles were first articulated by a man named Sidney Banks, and it is to him and other teachers who follow him that I must credit for everything I've shared here. It's so easy, especially for seekers like us, to get caught up in what can feel like a perpetual race to fix ourselves. I admire that impulse in others and in myself. It comes from a very pure place, but it can become exhausting. Until I came across this understanding, I felt like I was on an endless self-help treadmill, always running, but never reaching my goal. There was always something else to fix or change about myself. However, what I love about the understanding I've shared with you today is that it is always, always pointing us back to our innate well-being. There's nothing we need to fix or change or improve about ourselves. It's all there within us, and it always has been. Exploring this understanding is like having the clouds in an overcast sky gradually part. The blue sky was always there, we just couldn't see it. The more I am reminded to focus on the sky, the eternal, infinite, entirely whole sky, and not on the clouds, the more the clouds thin and move out of my line of sight. If it's not obvious yet, the understanding you've just explored in this course is about more than food, more than eating, and it's about more than resolving an unwanted habit. It's about your true nature and how brilliant and beautiful that is. It's about the perfection behind our human design and how that design is always working for us, not against us. It's about how we are always healthy, always whole, even when we are struggling with something like an overeating habit, and how that habit is itself pointing us back to our innate wholeness and well-being. Unwanted habits are, surprisingly, a language of love and wisdom. When we see them for what they are, every aspect of our life is changed and sweetened. Life becomes a joyful, gentle exploration rather than a journey filled with disheartening trials and challenges. Trials and challenges are a part of life, of course, but they have less weight when we view them knowing we are all infinitely resilient and that we can rely on the well of peace that is always at our core and always available to us. My wish for you is that this course is the beginning of your exploration into all that you are, and also that you remember, as often as you can, that your food cravings or shopping habit or video game addiction are not a problem. When we see them for what they really are, we begin to see that they are a gift and that they are whispering, "You are well, you are whole, you are love." I thank you so much for exploring with me, and I wish you all the very best on your journey. Thank you for listening. I hope you found the show helpful and uplifting. You'll find all the backlist episodes and show notes at unbrokenpodcast.com. To learn more about how to resolve an overeating habit in a way that's unlike anything else you've tried, get your complimentary copy of my Freedom from Overeating Starter Kit at alexandraamore.com/starterkit. See you next time.